You're listening to the Nate Lull Podcast. Download each new episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. And now, here's Nate.
Hey, it's another edition today here on the Nate Lull Podcast. Of course, I'm your host, Nate Lull, and it's episode 223 with, well, she's going to be a ninth grader this year at Franklin Central School. We have soccer superstar and great three-sport athlete for the Purple Devils, Shannon Kingsbury. If you haven't had a chance to watch Shannon play high school soccer, you need to mark it on the calendar, find the Franklin schedule this fall, and get out and watch her because she's one of those players that is a generational talent. We'll be talking about her in 10, 20, 30 years because of her speed, her goal-scoring ability, her footwork, her leadership, you name it. She's one of those kids that has it all, comes from a great family, has great brothers, really just a sports family that works really hard at everything they do. So Shannon, through 2 years of varsity soccer, came up in seventh grade, has, I believe, 69 goals is the number, and we'll talk about it more during the interview today. So by the time she's done, we could really see Shannon rewrite the record books for head coach J.J. Lang at FCS. So great to sit down and talk with Shannon today about where she's at currently, where she's looking in the future, and how she handles all the pressure that comes with scoring that many goals before she even enters the ninth grade. Pretty remarkable. One of those athletes, again, that we will be talking about for a long time to come. So I hope you'll enjoy this interview with Shannon today. The Nate Lull Podcast is brought to you by a variety of great local sponsors. I hope you will go out and support these businesses as they are nice enough to help me with my local sports coverage. They include Preferred Mutual Insurance Company of New Berlin, Stewart's Shops, Clark Sports Center of Cooperstown, Certified Auto Outlet in Oneonta, Covered Bridge Farm Market in Unadilla, Advantage Maytag Home Appliance Center in Oneonta. We have JM Electrical Contracting of Bainbridge, the Delaware National Bank of Delhi, Certified Financial Planner Ed Curley. We have Sportsfield Specialties, also of Delhi, NYCM Insurance, Gavin's Pizzeria of Sydney, the Rinker Insurance Agency of Afton, the Leatherstocking Group of Cooperstown, Spike's Pizza and Grocery of Edmiston, the Franklin Railroad and Community Museum, the Amphenol Corporation of Sydney, and SFCU. Episode 223 today with Franklin sports superstar Shannon Kingsbury. Sit back, relax, and enjoy another episode here on the Nate Lull Podcast. Hey, everybody. Episode 223 today here on the Nate Lull Podcast. Back in the studio today, a special guest as we have, well, I really can't say eighth grader anymore, right? I have to say Franklin Central School ninth grade superstar Shannon Kingsbury. So, Shannon, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
So, I know that you have listened to the show a lot. So, I was wondering off the bat, like, do you have a favorite episode that you've listened to? Because, like, when I see you, you're like, hey, I've listened to this one or that one.
I listen to a lot of them. I started at the beginning and actually listened to all of them once.
No way.
Yeah, like I didn't listen to them all in one day, but like I just like walking, running, like it's one of my favorite things to listen to. I love Skylar Thompson's. I really love that one. The Campbell Twins, JJ and Alicia. I like a bunch of those ones.
Yeah, all the Franklin ones have been great, and I'd like to have Sky on again. When he shared his story about kind of what he went through, he really opened up, and I was like, wow, that was powerful.
Yeah, I guess it was just like the boys obviously had him as a basketball coach last year, and I guess it's just like a different aspect you see of him.
Yeah, and I just, you know, we've had a lot of people that have sat right there in that chair and really told stories that I'd never heard before, and it's probably my favorite part of the show is that people just come in here, and it's like you get to know them for more than the 2 minutes after a game when you get to talk to somebody.
Yeah, it definitely gives them a different perspective on how.
Yeah. So I guess the biggest thing that people, two things that people always ask me about you. And number one would be just like, what was it like being a seventh grader coming up to varsity soccer and having the impact that you had right away? I mean, for anyone who doesn't know, Shannon, I think, has close to 70 goals through 2 years of varsity soccer, and she still has 4 years left. So I think a lot of records could be broken. A lot is still on the table for you. But, I mean, were you scared, nervous? What was it like getting that call to say, hey, I'm going to be on varsity as a seventh grader?
I mean, it was definitely challenging at first, and I was very, very nervous. But I think that group of seniors when I was in seventh grade was so welcoming and so helping with everything. So they just made it, like, feel normal, kind of.
Yeah, I mean, did you know, like, the Campbells and some of those other girls before then? Or, I mean, and there's a huge age gap there.
Yeah,
so.
There's a huge age gap. And, I mean, like, I looked up for them for so long. And I think that it was kind of surreal in a way because I had been watching them for so many years at Tri-Valley Championships in basketball and just so many things like that. And it just, like, I wasn't friends with them at that point, but then as soon as I started playing, we became really close.
Was there a moment right away, like, in those summer practices when you knew it was going to work and you clicked with them?
I mean, I think the first week of preseason, I just started, like, practicing with them and, like, hanging out with them, kind of. And there was a few groups, but I kind of just, like, went to that group, and they were super welcoming and then just kind of welcomed with open arms.
So what did Coach Lang, what did JJ say to you? Did you guys actually sit down and, like, have a conversation about, like, hey, this is pretty rare. Like, this is a seventh grader on varsity. You know, what was that like?
I think it started at the end of my sixth grade year with kind of, like, the talk of this might happen, like, be ready for this. Obviously, we had to do, like, all the testing and stuff. But I think, yes, it doesn't happen a lot. And I think he kind of said that to me, but in a way, it was kind of just like, we know you're ready for it.
I don't think I've ever seen a player, including Ange, maybe Ange, that was so ready in seventh grade.
Yeah.
Ange Campitello from Skenevis. And even that, I have a limited sample size because she blew her knee out in seventh grade at the first game I ever went to watch her. So whereas with you, it was like, I don't know, you guys were just ready right away. I don't know how you go from playing. I mean, you've played high level travel, but in theory, someone locally could be playing like U-12 rec soccer going right to varsity. So, I mean, what was the biggest transition for you, or really wasn't there one?
I think there really wasn't a big transition from playing travel because we play at such a high level. But probably one of the biggest ones that I saw in myself was practice every day, because I could see myself get better other than just practicing Tuesday, Thursday for travel.
That makes sense. That makes sense. Were you worried at all about, like, what if this doesn't work? What if I'm not good enough? Or, I mean, you just seem to have the confidence in yourself that I'm going to make it work, even if it's hard.
I kind of doubted myself in the beginning with if I'm going to be able to keep up and is my fitness at the level it has to be at. And I think that at the beginning, I wasn't as confident in myself. But, I mean, we played Gilboa our first game, and that was kind of just like, I think we're good.
It was funny because that was at Mayor's Cup, and JJ came over to me and he said, I want you to keep an eye on this seventh grader, Shannon. Like, I think she has a really bright future. And if I'm correct, I think you had a hat trick in the first 13 minutes of the game.
Yeah, it was something around there.
And I looked over at him and he just smiled and he said, yep. And afterwards, he was kind of like, you know, that's my next 6 years.
Yeah.
Right. Like, and I also think he knew that at that moment, you guys had something special, being that you had so many veteran pieces still left on that team. So when you score that first varsity goal, do you remember that one vividly?
Yes, that's like one of my favorite Franklin memories as of right now. I think it was Marissa. I just jumped into her arms and, like, they all were so happy for me. Like, it could be one of those things that they're easily like, oh, she's in seventh grade and just scored. Like, it's like not that big of a deal. But, like, they were all so happy for me.
Were you going into that game thinking, yeah, I want to try to score multiple goals? Or like, how did that happen so fast?
I was so unsure that game just because, well, we scrimmaged, but like still in a scrimmage, you don't really like no. But I didn't even expect to start.
Right.
I wasn't expecting anything like that. I was like, if I can come in, maybe score once, maybe get an assist, that'll be perfect. But then I ended up scoring 5, I think.
Yeah, you
and
had
it
more.
It was just like so surreal.
It's funny because I think you've become known for your goal scoring ability. Obviously, I think it's 69 or 70 goals through 69. 2 years. But I also get the feeling that you would be just as happy if you had 70 assists.
Yeah. I don't really care if it's goals or assists. It's just as long as our team's doing well.
I also get the feeling that, you know, some people get weird about, you know, a lot of points in basketball or a lot of goals in soccer. But I feel like a lot of your goals have come where, like, the team needed you to score goals to win games. And so you were like, well, number one for me is winning games, so I'm going to put the ball in the back of the net.
Yeah.
So they needed you to score all those goals. So it's not like you're just running the score up, I would say. Has that bothered you at all if that conversation comes around?
I mean, I think it's definitely, like, it hurts a little. But, like, at the same time, I know that if I didn't score all those goals or if I didn't have all those assists, it wouldn't have been the same for that team that year.
Did anyone like Kayla or Marissa or, you know, even going back a little farther, I don't know if you know Jordan very well. Mm-hmm. Have you talked to any of them about, like, what it's kind of like to be the star at Franklin that's going to get all that attention, kind of like how they handled it?
I mean, I'm pretty close with Kay and Riss still, but like, I don't, that has never came up in conversation, but I'm sure it will at some point.
I mean, is that something you think about or is it just not even on your radar? Like, I'm going to go play and that's, it is what it is.
I mean, I think about it sometimes, but it's not something I really think about all the time.
So in your 2 years so far, what would you say is some of your favorite Franklin soccer memories?
Oh, God. Definitely playing Roxbury. Playing Roxbury is one of the top all the time. It's just, I mean, in the Mayor's Cup final, that was a huge game. And then
huge
PKs against them. And then this year, playing them in Mayor's Cup again.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot you played them again this year. I feel like your seventh grade year, those two teams were like super evenly matched.
Yes.
And boy, you guys had some good battles. So,
I mean, the Roxbury sectional game is when I hurt my ankle when I had that contact and it was really bruised. But that game was just like, it was just so surreal because we were down and then we tied it and then it went to PKs. And I don't even think JJ gave me the go-ahead to go in. I'm pretty sure Alicia just shoved my cleat on my foot because my foot was so swollen. And I was able to run up and down the sideline with a little pain. And I think Alicia and JJ just looked at each other and I was at half ready to go in.
So when, like, what part of the game did you get hurt at? Like, was it early in the game, late in the game?
It was in the first half.
Okay, so you had sat the whole second half.
Mm-hmm.
Did you play any of the overtime or was just
I played, I'm pretty sure, all the overtime.
So you played the overtime and then did you take a PK?
Yes.
Did you make your PK?
I don't remember that.
That game to me,
I know it was on frame. I don't know if Bree saved it or it went in. I'm not 100% sure on that.
Well, I just had Maya Johnston on not too long ago, who's now playing at Hartwick and was on those Roxbury teams. And we were kind of hashing it out. And it was like, there was some crazy goalie saves.
Yes.
There was a couple that went off the crossbar and the post. And JJ's probably at home right now. Like, he's got his notes out. Like, Nate, come on. This happened. This happened. But yeah, like, that was one of the wildest PK sessions I think I've seen as well.
I mean, Maddie is an amazing goalie, and Bree is an amazing goalie. That was a real, you have to put it on frame in just the perfect spot. Otherwise, she's going to save it.
Did it mean more to you guys having the sectional game at home and having all that happen?
Our crowd was huge.
That was great.
I mean, I feel like that many people would have came out if we were still in Roxbury. But
agreed, yeah.
I feel like our home crowd really put us over.
It's a great atmosphere down there.
Yeah.
And the Mayor's Cup, was also a great atmosphere.
Yes, that was pretty packed too.
What do you think that meant to specifically JJ to get the Mayor's Cup win? I felt like that meant as much to him as almost anything.
That trophy is JJ's extra kid. This year, he had to take it back when we are done. He's like, okay, guys, you guys have to get this back. And I think that's our goal, is we want to keep getting it back and back because of how much that trophy means to all of us.
It's a pretty special trophy, and it's relatively new. It used to be the winner of Mayor's Cup, I think, just took it home and kept it. And I think, if I'm remembering correctly, it's been like since 2014.
Yeah, it's something around there.
You keep it, you get your nameplate on there, and it's pretty cool. It's really cool. And as far as I know, that was the first time Franklin had won Mayor's Cup.
Yeah, and I think it actually was, too. And then at school, they put it in front of like where we walk in with a picture of all of us, and it just really was special.
So you got to look at it every day?
Every day when we walked in the building.
So, I mean, is that kind of pressure going forward to keep going back there and keep bringing it home?
In a way, but I feel like it's not as much pressure because we all want it so bad.
Right, right. I just got the brackets the other day. They looked a little different. There was some new teams. I know Delhi Girls are out, and I want to say Edmiston or somebody is in.
Yeah, I think it is.
But I think everybody else is pretty much the same. But that's always a highlight for me. I love going over there. It's a long tournament.
Yeah, it really is.
But it's just a lot of fun. Do you like playing on that field? It's a tight, small field. What do you think?
I think it's not so much the field that we like playing on it. It's the atmosphere. Obviously, it's a smaller field, but like, I feel like it doesn't make it easier. It makes it like everyone has less space, so you're trying to move faster and everything like that. And just the area for the fans is like, it just shows everyone.
It's great. It's packed right in there. And I've always wondered, and I've kind of asked a couple of guests about this, but is it tough playing there at night? Like, the lights are fine, but it's not
playing there at night.
It's not great.
Playing there at night is actually probably one of my favorite places to play.
It's
just
fun.
Because not the atmosphere is what makes it that good too, but like, I don't know. It's just playing on the field. The championship one in my seventh grade year is when it was raining and we were the late game.
Yeah.
And I think that was probably one of my highlights, with it just being the field was wet. Like, it was just a really cool moment.
You know, it's just like you said, it's the atmosphere. It's still that time of year where you play at night, but it's still warm. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of like fun to be there.
Yeah.
And for me, people are always like, well, why did you start going to Mayor's Cup? And I'm like, because if I don't go, I feel like I'm missing something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just like being there because I feel like that's where all the action is.
I feel like when it's, because that year we weren't the late game, but like, it was still one of the perfect weather games where it's not raining so hard you can't see. It's still perfect weather with how it's not too hot, it's not too cold. It's one of those in-betweens for playing.
Yeah, I'm always like, by the start of Mayor's Cup, you're like frying outside in the sun. And then by the end, 2 weeks later, I mean, you could be freezing.
There could very well be snow
on the sidelines. So I will definitely be there this year. I know that some other schools are starting up similar style tournaments that are going to be longer, having more teams. So, but I just don't know how I can get away from going to Mayor's. It's kind of like my thing.
Yeah.
So I just love going there.
It's a really like special way to start our season, I think.
Yeah.
You started on a high note.
So you talk about Roxbury, you talk about the Mayor's Cup games, but especially seventh grade, like, you have some really good battles with Skenevis. Like, what do those games mean to you?
Those games are probably some of my favorite games just because of how meaningful they are, even though I don't think we didn't come out on top on any of them, but like, just like the back and forth games were so nice. I mean, obviously we would have liked to come out on top at least once, but just the back and forth games make it so much more interesting and things like that.
What made Skenevis so powerful the last few years? Because it's more than just Ange. It's Ange, it's Lily, it's Taylor, and it's Sam. It's the list goes on.
Yeah, the list is very long.
But I mean, was it just that they had all the pieces in all the positions, or was it something more than that?
I think it was not only having all the positions and all the places, but those girls were together for so long.
Long time.
I think they got to know each other's playing styles a lot. I mean, I've known Ange and Lily for a while now, and I think those two are just really good.
After a couple of those games, specifically, I think Tri-Valley and the sectional final game, you and Ange kind of like shared a moment in the handshake line.
Yeah.
Like, what is said in that moment? You know, it's kind of like when you see two NFL coaches meet, you know, and you're always like, I wonder what they're saying there. So, like, what was that moment
I think at that she said, you have so many years ahead of you, don't hang your head.
Mm.
And she wanted to make sure that I wasn't going to hang my head over it because of how the future is holding and everything like that.
It's crazy because I feel like Ange has been around forever, but also like I blinked and her career is over, her high school career at least. I mean, seeing what she did at such a young age, is that someone like you've looked up to? Because it would have been very easy for you guys to be like mortal enemies and be completely, you know, nasty to each other on or off the field, but you weren't. You really weren't.
She's been someone I've really, really looked up to for the past few years. Playing against her is amazing, but like I'll always cherish what we have off the field. I mean, I felt like I would text her before every game this year, or not every game, sectionals, Tri-Valley, just good luck, like kill it. And she would do the same for me.
Yeah, it's amazing that her career is over now, I think. And you take COVID out of there, she would have had even more goals. I can't remember what exactly she ended up with, 130, 140, somewhere in that range, which is really remarkable. I'm pretty sure it's a league record. But is that stuff you think about, like down the road?
I obviously, like, it crosses my mind sometimes, but it's not something that's, like, too much on my mind right now.
Well, I think about, and again, JJ will have the exact number, and he'll probably know the projection on this. I'm pretty sure it's still Liz McGrail must have our section record. With
I
like
think it is.
170-something, 176, somewhere in there. I mean, probably one of the best players, if not the best player to ever come through the area, and what her teams did, winning a state title, et cetera, everything that she did. Obviously, you know her from her time at SUNY Oneonta, where, you know, your mom works, and we can talk about that too. But again, you talk about Ange, you talk about Liz, just numbers that are out there, and you don't worry about it now.
I mean, I feel like when I get, like, probably my 11th and 12th grade, where I'll start to look at it more. I mean, I tend not to think about them just because I feel like I'll put more pressure on myself to try and get to them.
Mm.
But I feel like just with this season coming up and stuff, like my goal this year is 100.
Yeah, that
to
makes
get to
sense.
100. And then I think I'll start thinking about the more things.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, like, it is on your mind, because it'd be easy to sit there and say no and give the canned answer, like, no, I never think about it, and that's not why I play the game. But, like, we all know that it's got to be kicking around in your head somewhere. But I also don't think it's wrong for you to say, like, hey, it motivates me to get better, right? Like, I don't think there's anything.
I mean, I think it's one of my goals I'm trying to work towards.
Yeah.
But
because I think we're all rooting for you, too. Mm-hmm. It's like records are meant to be broken, and when you see someone come along like yourself, or a Lacey Drake, or an Ange, or whoever it might be, Kayla, Marissa, whoever it might be along the way, like, you end up rooting for them because you're like, I want to be like, I was there. I saw that happen, you know? So
I think one of my favorite things is that I have a picture from, I don't remember which year Tri-Valley Championship it was, but I'm in the front row cheering for them. And then there's a picture of us three the next year. Or not the next year, but like years forward for basketball.
So, yeah, like you said it before, but like third, fourth, fifth, sixth grade, like you're going to those games and you must just be like, let me out there. Like, let me help.
Yeah. I mean, one of my, like, I don't want to say dreams, but like one of the things I was always thinking about is, am I going to be able to play with Kayla and Marissa?
Right.
because there was that one year that, I mean, I got moved up for sectionals and playoffs of basketball, but like playing soccer with them, something that will never be forgotten.
Yeah, just to transition to basketball, it's pretty rare that you would come up for any sport in seventh grade, and then they do bring you up for basketball late in the year when they make the run to states, and like you had a big impact. Like, how much did that mean to you to get that call from Coach Dutcher to say, I think you can come help us?
I knew it was being talked about just because of we went and played Susquehanna Valley as like a sectional tune-up game, and he brought me and I played, and I think that game was just kind of like, oh wow, I can actually hang with varsity.
Sure. What I find interesting about that sectional final game is that they put you on Brooke. They put you on Brooke Tillotson, who's mm-hmm. the star from Marathon. I mean, did you go into that game knowing, like, this is my assignment? I got to try to chase her around?
Yeah, we had been practicing it a lot with just, like, at practice and man marking and stuff. And, I mean, I was very, very nervous for that game just because of how high of a player Brooke is. And
I mean, they put you on a player that is now playing at SUNY Cortland, I think finished with, like, 1,800 points. Not an easy task for a young player to jump in there. Like, did you have a mindset that day of like, okay, I'm just going to try to do A, B, and C and like not worry about anything else?
I went in with, I'm going to do this as well as I can and hope that it's the best I can do, because I was going to put 110% in no matter what.
Do things like that motivate you? Because I feel like when you get an assignment from a coach, like you really take it to heart. It's not just like, oh, yeah, I'm going to do that. Like you go after it very hard.
No, that I think that motivates me so much. Like I think man marking someone and being man marked is just such a motivation for me. Because I mean, me being man marked for soccer and travel happens all the time. And I think it just motivates me to find my teammates more and move off the ball to try and get an open shot.
How has that been for you? Because obviously the word got out quickly mm-hmm. that you could score. So teams started throwing a lot at you. Like, what's the craziest thing you've probably seen? Like a triple team or like
I can't remember it's like double team when I have it. And, like, if I'm close, it's just, like, everyone swarms. And, I mean, that's how, like, a lot of other people on my team scored, because they would all come here and then there would just be an open player and I would dish it off and it would.
Yeah. Is it similar in travel or not as much?
It's not as similar in travel, but you can't see it as much because of how they try and do it. And I mean, every team's different, so.
Well, it makes sense. The teams you're playing in travel are very, very highly skilled.
Yes.
When did you start to get into the travel soccer? And I guess to take it a step further, like, when did you really fall in love with the game to begin with?
Oh, God. I think I've been in love with this game for a lot longer than I've been playing it. I mean, I grew up around, obviously, watching field hockey from my mom. And I mean, every weekend, soccer's playing after, we'd go watch. Like,
yeah.
It's hard to think about putting an exact point on it just because of how long I've been around it.
It probably feels like it's just always been that way.
Yeah.
So for anyone who doesn't know, your mom is the head field hockey coach at SUNY Oneonta. And I guess the question that maybe an outsider would ask is, how did you not end up playing field hockey?
I messed around with field hockey a lot. I mean, I went to a Sydney field hockey camp. Like, I did some field hockey camps here and there. And I mean, I think that obviously the field hockey opportunities aren't that great around here. I mean, I think the closest one is probably Afton or Green.
Right. And, in terms of if you had to go to a different school. Right.
And I mean, not that I don't like field hockey, but field hockey's not my thing.
Did mom ever like push it on you?
No, never.
Because I mean, I saw she just got into the Sherburn Earlville mm-hmm. Hall of Fame, right? And she went on and played collegiately, obviously coaching now. So you would think like that would be the thing.
Nope. neither of my parents played soccer, and somehow
here you are.
Here we are.
Wow, it's amazing to me. So you did try it. What about it wasn't for you? Just
everything.
It's amazing to me because around here, field hockey has this almost like cult following. Mm-hmm. Like, I love it. Like, Whitney Point, Sydney is very good now. Obviously, Green and Afton, Afton-Harpersville, I should say. And we're consistently sending girls to huge colleges.
Yeah.
So it's really impressive to watch. I've really grown to appreciate the game and love it.
I mean, I love watching it, but...
Yeah. But being like, you know, I'm a Tri-Valley person, it was just never on my radar.
Yeah.
Really, until I watched it a little bit in college. And then when I took this job, I was like, I really have to learn this.
Yeah.
And I'm still learning it because there's like 10,000 rules.
There is so many rules. And I think the only reason, like, obviously, I haven't been able to get to that many games.
Right.
Because of fall and it being soccer and field hockey season. But like every time there's like 50,000 whistles. And I'm like, Grandma, what is
this? What happened?
I
still feel that way. Someone will be like, what just happened there? I'm like, I still have no idea. I'm still learning.
Yep.
Some things I've gotten down. But so, I mean, just being at the college with your mom as a younger player, like not even her team, but like you said, you'd go watch soccer. Mm-hmm. Like, how much do you think being around the college atmosphere rubbed off on you and made you want to excel?
That like was, I feel like, the main reason for how I pushed myself and my work ethic and everything like that, just because of how I was so around it. I would hang out with my mom's players all the time, like after games at tailgates and stuff like that. And I mean, like watching them push on the field, I think it really rubbed off.
Was there a field hockey or a soccer player at Oneonta that you really looked up to or had a good relationship with that helped facilitate that?
I think all of them, to be honest, like just watching them meant a lot.
And she's had some really good teams and some just like, I don't know, field hockey people especially. Like, I don't think I've ever met a mean, nasty field hockey person, right? Like, they're just really super nice people. So when did you start playing travel?
I think it's going to be 3 years ago.
Oh, so it's kind of recently.
Yeah. I mean, I would play for... This is only BC, like when I joined BC.
Gotcha.
I think it's either 3 or 4 years ago. And, I mean, I was playing with Oneonta, and then I was playing a little bit with GBFC, but they didn't really have my age. Like, I was playing with some of the older kids or some of the younger kids. Like, there was really no 09 girls team.
Right.
So, I mean, I loved my Oneonta teams. Like, that was probably one of the hardest decisions with going to BC is you're not going to be able to play with these players again. And just, I think that was probably one of the hardest transitions.
That's what I was going to ask is, we've tried to get a lot of advice on when do you know or how do you know that you have to take the next step? Like, for you, it was like, okay, I need to find maybe a little bit bigger club that maybe goes a little farther out or goes to bigger tournaments? Like, what was it for you that made you make the change?
I think that I knew that there was a lot more opportunities. I mean, I wasn't per se looking for a bigger club, but my coach now, Chris, owns the place we were playing leagues at and, like, basically said he would love me to have me on his team and just that he thinks I could bring so much to the table for the team. And I think I did like 2 practices with them. I played in a tournament with them and I was like, this is the group of girls.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not that you disliked Oneonta. It was just that was a really good situation for you. Most of the girls you play with are from much bigger schools, right?
Yes.
At BC. Are they like, where the heck is Franklin?
No, not
fully.
Really? They were. They completely were. I mean, there's a few Cincinnati girls.
Okay. Yeah.
Waverly. Like there's a lot of them, but I think now everyone knows where it is, but when it was not the case before.
You've put it on the map.
And I mean, like, we'll go to big tournaments and stuff. Like, I just played in an all-star game in Ohio with my team, and everyone was like, so how big is your school? And I'm like, I have 18 kids in my class.
And you're already in this world, but it's like, that just blows people's minds.
It really does.
I'm taking a sip of my lovely unsweetened iced tea that you brought from McDonald's. Thank you. That's like my all-time favorite drink.
Of course.
Side note, The Skenevis Cincinnatus game had to be freaky for you.
Oh my God. Was I in Texas? I think I was in Texas.
I thought you were there.
Nope. I was in Texas because I was watching it with the Cincinnatus girls.
Oh my gosh.
And I was like, oh God, I can't say good job, Angie, because yeah. I can't. I mean, Kyla is amazing. Angie's amazing. Like, it's just insane.
So for anyone who doesn't know, that was last year's state regional game. So the winner of that went to the Final Four. Cincinnatus wins in overtime and goes on to the state final and then loses, right?
Yes. I was at the state Final Four game. I went to those with the Cincy girls.
So I think coming in, and the game was played at Norwich High School. I think coming in, this is so Skenevis wins back-to-back sectional titles. So this is their second time going to regionals. I really think they should have won the first year.
Yes.
They played Poland. And I think Poland also went on to the final and lost.
Yes.
But I came away from the Poland game thinking they should have won that game. Going into the Cincinnatus game, the vibe on the street was that like Cincinnatus was going to kill them.
Yeah.
Which, you know, as being a Skenevis reporter, I guess you could say, in my mind, I was having trouble with that because everybody was just almost like writing Skenevis off. But I also know how good Cincinnatus is. I've seen them many times.
Yeah, that was kind of my thought process. I'm like, I know Skenevis can hold their own, but I don't know if it's enough to get past Cincinnatus just because of how good they are.
So were you surprised with how the game went?
I wasn't surprised. But I was like, wow, that was a good game, and great it could have gone either way.
So if I remember correctly, it was kind of back and forth in regulation. Skenevis had a lead for a long, long time. Yeah. And I feel like Cincinnatus tied it late.
Yes.
And went to overtime. And, I mean, I want to have Ange back on to ask her about this, but Skenevis gets a PK in overtime. Ange probably makes that thing 97 times out of 100, maybe more. And she just kind of mishit it. And it, you know, it doesn't go.
That was so hard to watch.
And so it stays tied. And then I think Cincinnatus scores not long after that.
Yeah.
I don't think it went to PKs.
I don't think it did either.
But God, that just like I want to ask Ange like how that sits with her today.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I've missed I don't know how many PKs.
Yeah.
And but I could. Like
on that stage.
On that stage, that would suck.
And I don't know, like, here's Ange, a senior, this amazing career, a chance to go to the state Final Four. It's like the stuff you make up in the yard, right? When you're like playing, like for you with your brothers,
with all the
you know? Yeah, you're like, oh, it's 10 seconds left, game winning shot, right? Like that whole thing. But it's in real life. So I'd love to, my plan would be to have her and Lily on together. I think that would be fun. But I just don't know. Like, I hope it doesn't. I hope she doesn't look back on her career and feel like everything was a failure just for that moment.
No, she had a great career, and it was really hard to watch it end.
Yeah, because you kept thinking, like, if they could just get to the Final Four, who knows? Mm-hmm. Like, if you can get there, almost like you guys did with basketball, right? It's like you didn't win the state semifinal, but if you can just get to that weekend and it's almost like your travel tournaments, right? If you can just get there and the bounces fall your way, you never know.
Yeah.
You just never know. So going back to travel, you start going to BC. Did you immediately know, like, this is the right fit? It's mostly girls from the stack, right?
Yes. They're mostly stack and bigger schools.
What was it like for you going there? Probably not knowing anybody. Like, what would your advice be to, like, I've had a lot of kids say, like, I would go play for a travel team, but I don't know anybody. Like, how hard was it to make friends?
There was one girl that I had been playing GBFC with a little, and she was also transitioning to BC. And I mean, everyone was welcoming. And that could easily go the other way just because of it being teenage girls.
Right.
But everyone was so welcoming, and I knew literally that second that team was going to be something special.
Did you feel like you had to prove yourself?
In a way, I felt like I did, but like, I think I had to prove it to myself more than anyone else.
Mm. I feel like the coach obviously believed in you right away. Mm-hmm. So you had that vote of confidence. And then just the way you played the game, I feel like within probably the first practice, everybody was like, okay, yeah, she's good.
Yeah.
We got it.
I think another thing that really helped me was how my coach Chris was like, I really want you here because I know you can hang.
That means a lot.
Yeah.
So you guys have traveled all over and you still have a lot of travel this summer left to go. But talk about last summer, you guys win enough games to make the national tournament, correct? And that was down in like Florida?
No, that's this year.
That's this year?
Yeah.
So where did you guys end up last year? Texas?
Yes.
Yes.
That was for National League.
Wow. What was that experience like getting to go?
That was really amazing. I mean, we had the two National League things that qualified us for Nationals this year. So we went to Texas in November, and I can't remember which one, because we went to Florida in February and March this year.
I was going to say, I've had Florida on the brain here.
Yeah, so Florida is Nationals this year, and Florida was National League and our DPL showcase this year.
I think most people might be sitting at home like, how do you keep this all straight? Like, you're going to Texas, you're going to Florida, you got big pressure games all over the Northeast. Like, how do you, time management-wise, how do you do it?
It's not easy, but I think with my family and stuff, we kind of just like sit down and we have games here. We have a huge calendar on our fridge. I mean, I think it's definitely a team effort here.
Are you excited for Florida this year?
Yes, very excited.
So I think is it the weekend of my golf tournament?
Yes, it is. We leave that week.
That's a bummer. We're going to miss you this year. So when you get to that level, what are the teams you're playing like?
Honestly, it's so hard to tell.
Really?
They could either be so good or not good because of how they qualified. I mean, we played three games in Texas and three games in Florida, and then we ended up actually playing our championship game at Owego High School.
Yeah, yeah.
That was because, in reality, it was a PA team because we won all and tied one, and that team did the same. So we had to beat them to win.
Wow. Talk about pressure with those games.
Yeah.
Your whole trip kind of hinges on that one game.
Yeah.
And you play all throughout the year, too.
Mm-hmm.
So do you feel like you're always touching a soccer ball? Like, are you at home and practice? Like, it's kind of year-round for you.
Yep.
That's, like, you never, like, I'm assuming other sports, you don't have a basketball in your hand all year and stuff like that. I mean, are you at home just always kicking the ball around, especially with your brothers?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, we get yelled at all the time for having a ball in the house. Everything on the ground, Jake has to kick it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we try our best not to get caught doing that, but sometimes it happens. No, but we have a little strip of our lawn that Jake and I will go up and kick a soccer ball sometimes. We have a bounce back thing that you can work on stuff on, and it's just pretty much all the time.
We should mention, for anyone who doesn't know, you are a triplet. So what's the dynamic at your house? It's not just, you know, brother, sister, like it's a whole thing.
No, it's competition for everything.
Who's the oldest? Like, what's the lineup?
It's me, Jacob, and then Logan.
Wow. And why can't we get Logan to play? What do you think? So Jake plays your brother, mm-hmm. and he's doing very well. And I'm completely fine with Logan not playing because he has other interests. But do you think there is a time when he could play?
I feel like COVID, he played soccer, travel soccer before COVID.
Okay.
And I think during COVID, he was hanging out at the barn more and then kind of fell in love with farming and being at the barn. And I think that's what his path is taking him. And I could see him playing again, but I don't think he'll play travel again.
He was a good goalie, I heard.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, Alicia must just be like, come on, let's go.
Yeah. She'll throw some comments here and there to him.
It would be great to see him come back, but I mean, Jake has really made a name for himself, much like you have. I guess my question would be, and it's not fair to ask you and not ask Jake, but like, do you feel like he feels the need, like, I got to keep up with Shannon?
I think it goes both ways because I think we both push each other for that.
Mm-hmm.
And like, he plays in the midfield, so he's so much better at possession than me. And he knows I score so much better than him. And his foot skills are a lot better than mine. I will admit that. I think he pushes me to get my foot skills better and I push him to score more.
Now, he also came up to varsity in eighth grade?
Seventh.
Seventh grade. Mm-hmm. I couldn't remember. I remember at Mayor's Cup, and I've told this story mm-hmm. on the show a few times, he just got absolutely wrecked by a yes. bigger, older kid. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, Jake in seventh grade was not big.
No.
I mean, he was tiny.
He's tiny. He's not tiny now.
He's growing. And
he's taller than me now.
I know there's going to be a fall where I show up and mm-hmm. all of a sudden he's 6'1".
Yeah.
It's coming. Mm-hmm. But at the time, he just got run over. And mm-hmm. I was like, oh boy.
Yeah.
Like, there's your welcome to varsity moment. And he just like collected himself and got up and kept running. If that was me at 11 or 12, puddle. They had to drag me off the field. It would have not been pretty. And I feel like that's most 11 or 12 year olds. But where does the toughness come from with you guys?
I think of being so pushy with each other is that we fight all the time. I mean, sometimes we'll push each other, but normally it's just yelling at each other. But I think that the toughness, even mentally, has come from being together all the time. I mean, normally with triplets, you go to a school that you can be separated with, but we have been together from kindergarten to ninth grade.
Yeah.
So.
Wow. Yeah, there's really nowhere to hide.
Nope.
At FCS.
Nope.
But what really impressed me about him that year was he had some great guys to work with too, mm-hmm. like Matt Cerro and Brandon Gregory. It was a very good team. And he just held his own. He made good passes. He was always in the right place at the right time. He scored a bunch of big goals. Mm-hmm. That had to be fun for you to watch him have his moments too.
Yeah, that was. And Brandon and Matt are his Kayla and Marissa for me.
Mm.
Like,
well
he
said.
Really looked up to them. And I mean, I looked up to Kayla and Marissa, obviously. And it's just like, it was one of those things that like, we were both there for each other all the time. I mean, he comes in my room all the time and just like starts talking about soccer. And sometimes I kick him out because I'm not really in the mood to talk to him. But he'll just like, even in varsity, like we've gotten so much closer because of soccer and just like come in, talk about upcoming games and stuff like that.
This is kind of a strange question, I guess. But like for you and for him, I feel like if I envisioned a seventh grader being on varsity when I was playing, like that person maybe would have gotten picked on or, you know, whatever. Like, I feel like that didn't happen with you guys. Was it just the quality of people that you were around?
It definitely didn't happen on the team. And I think that was one of the things that we were both kind of like,
yeah, like
kind of set back about because we were like, this could happen. And right. I guess we're just going to have to deal with it if it does, basically. And I think that we both leaned on each other a lot during preseason. Our seventh grade year, I mean, we leaned on each other a lot during preseason anyway because it's hard.
Yeah.
And I think that really helped.
Yeah, because it would be easy. I would assume even more for boys. Like, you just show up and it's just easy to pick on mm-hmm. the new guy and he's small and he's in seventh grade. But I do think it speaks to the quality of leadership that you guys had around mm-hmm. you, not only with the coaching staff, but then those seniors and juniors who – kind of took care of you guys.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you're transitioning into a role where like you're going to be the leader soon?
I think that it's very well going to happen just because of like next year, the girls in my class are going to be on there and they already look up to me. I mean, like they're always just like picking me up and stuff like that.
Yeah. No, I feel like it's going to naturally happen with both of you guys. Mm-hmm. Had to be hard for Jake too, because it's like you might not know Unitigo
yeah.
guys and they're merged for soccer. And
I think he knew a lot of them or some of them from baseball, playing Little League with them and stuff. But I still think it was kind of like I don't know all of the Unitigo kids like that.
Right. You know, you came and played some Armadillos with us this year, which I think it's just you and Lacey Drake as the only eighth graders to ever play for the Armadillos.
That's a hard name to live up to.
It is, but you guys are very similar in a lot of ways mm-hmm. from what I can tell. But you immediately gravitated towards K-Lam, towards Katie Lamoureux
yep.
from Maine Endwell. And I'm like, you kind of have this like magnet energy towards older players. Like, she's a senior. She's going on to play Division I basketball. We were thrilled to have her with us this year. She's already at college. She's at mm-hmm. Fairfield getting ready for next year. What was it about that connection? I mean, we were there like 2 hours. I look over. You guys are like best friends.
Yeah, I think I had been like watching her that year or this year just because of Instagram and clips like that.
Yeah.
There was, I don't remember what brand it was or something, did a clip of her and I was like, oh my God, she's amazing.
Yeah.
I tried my hardest to get to one of her games, but it just never worked out. And I mean, I know a lot of people at NWL because of soccer and stuff. Two of my teammates go there, and just like the older kids that play for BC, some of them go there. I was always like, oh my God. That's how kind of like it happened. And then I was like, she was just so, so nice when we met and just kind of was like always there. And then we kind of got talking about soccer and stuff. And actually her soccer coach used to coach me, and he's helping coach us this year.
Oh, wow.
Our upcoming year.
So you just had a lot of connections.
Yeah, like a lot of connections.
I feel like I've talked a lot of armadillos recently, so maybe people are sick of it. But people always ask me, like, how does it work? You guys don't practice. You get kids from all over the place. And I'm like, that's the prime example right mm-hmm. there. Like, you came into the tournament you knew of her, but you didn't know her. And by the end of the day, you guys are best friends.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm just like, I don't know why that works, but that's how it's always worked. And I just feel like the people that we get are just great people.
I mean, I was looking up to her so much, and then like her welcomeness, like, I mean, she invited me to her graduation party, like just like things like that, that means so much.
Did you get to go?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, I wanted to go.
I stopped by for a little bit because I was in Bampton already.
Yeah.
But it meant so much just because of how little we knew each other, but like she made such an impact.
Yeah. No, she, again, was someone that I didn't know. We don't cover Maine NWL mm-hmm. here. I had some connections to her dad and stuff, and so I reached out like last fall, which is what I usually try to do. I'll try to reach out to some bigger name players and just be like, hey, just throwing this out there, mm-hmm. like if you are busy, like obviously Katie was playing on a team that wins a state championship for mm-hmm. softball, so I'm like, I know you're busy and you can come and play with us anytime you want. If you're not free for a weekend, fine. If you want to come, great. And she did. She made it to probably a majority of our tournaments.
Yeah.
Which she doesn't have to do that.
No.
You know?
I think that she could have very, very well been like, no, like, I don't want to play with you guys. But she was, I'm all in, basically. And I mean, her sister's in eighth grade or ninth grade now.
I know.
And I mean, she's friends with some of my friends. So it's just like whole thing.
It's helped, too. A couple of years ago, we did get a couple of Seton Catholic girls, mm-hmm. which kind of, I feel like, put armadillos on the map down there. And Katie actually said to me, she's like, I saw that like Reese Vaughn and some of those girls were playing for this random team. Like, what the hell are the armadillos? So I feel like we're starting to kind of pick up some of those players, and hopefully we can next year because we're losing a lot.
Yeah.
But I think my favorite armadillos moment for you this year is you came to our tournament in Utica.
Oh, yes.
And you hit like four or five threes in the second half of this game. It was a big moment. Mm-hmm. Like, what was that like?
That was probably one of my favorites just because, like, I'm not, like, fully confident in basketball just because I don't play it as much as I play soccer. And all of a sudden, I'm, like, throwing up threes and they're just, like, going in. So I'm
miss.
Like, I'm just going to go.
And that game, it was pretty close.
Mm-hmm.
And then we started to pull away, and I just felt like the group that we had on the floor was, like, athletic and they were moving the ball. And then all of a sudden, we couldn't miss.
Mm-hmm.
And that was fun. And Coach Ryan wasn't there. And when I texted him, he was, like, so excited. He's like, I can't believe I missed it. But that was a really cool moment, and mm-hmm. we're looking forward to having you back next year. And this is coming up more and more. Do you feel like having an option locally like armadillos, which works with your other travel schedules, is helpful, like makes you want to play basketball more?
Yeah. Well, I played for Twin Tier a little bit, but then like it was just getting to be way too much with like I was in Bampton literally every day of the week.
Right.
And then, like, that was sixth grade, so, like, I didn't have varsity soccer and stuff like that. And it was just, like, it was too much. And I missed basketball.
Yeah.
And then I started playing JV again. I was like, oh, my God, I'm, like, I love basketball. And then you reached out, and I was like, okay, this could actually be, like,
it works.
It works. And then obviously being like, because my spring's so packed with soccer and stuff, being flexible and stuff, that really, really helped.
Yeah, I mean, our philosophy is basically like, come when you can.
Mm-hmm.
And you had some times where you were like, you had soccer in the morning and you were going to try to time it and come.
Yep.
I even feel
that
like
was the Utica tournament.
Yeah, the Utica tournament, you had been like in Syracuse or something. And that's another reason people always ask me how it works. I'm like, because we have families that are kind of, especially the older kids, mm-hmm. like they're so used to that.
Yeah.
And I've had families be like, oh, we only have to drive to Albany and not go to Kentucky. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. That's easy. You know, we don't have to stay over. Sure. Great. So I think that's why it works. Mm-hmm. And, looking forward to the next couple of years. I think it's going to be great. And we have a lot to replace. We're losing a ton this year. A lot of those girls, like Jack Gransberry and Hannah B and Jolene mm-hmm. and all those girls, I feel like they've been around forever.
Yeah.
So
I think the last two, it's so hard to watch seniors go just because of like, especially
sad.
Like this group, like this is the last, like this upcoming group of, they were in 10th grade when I started.
Mm.
And I think it's just going to be, it's going to be hard to say bye because of how long, like not how long, but like that was the first group I played with.
And for you, more than the average varsity player, like you might be on varsity 2-3 years, mm-hmm. right? So you only have to say goodbye to some seniors like once. Like for you, you're going to say goodbye 5 times.
Yeah.
And that's hard. Like by the time you are a senior, you're going to have a whole new team.
Yeah.
Like you're going to be the only person left, mm-hmm. which is weird. Is it freaky to think about?
It's freaky to think about, but like it's exciting at the same time just because of you never know what the future is going to hold with new teams and everything like that.
I get sad around this time of year usually because I'm like, it's not going to be the same. Kayla and Marissa are gone. Matt Sarrow's gone. You know, other schools. Jolene's gone. Hannah mm-hmm. B. Like, when Lacey graduated, I'm like, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
And then you just, the next group comes and you're like, by the time you get to like September or October, you're like, oh, this is the new group. Mm-hmm. And you just start meeting new people.
I think that kind of hits me when track starts because I don't play softball like a lot of them do. And I think that was, I mean, my 7th grade year, that was really hard because of how close Marissa and I had gotten and Kayla. And I think, I mean, before, I think it was only basketball. I mean, it might have been soccer too. We would go to Yokel before every, like we went before sectionals, Tri-Valley, and everything like that.
What's your go-to sandwich at Yokel?
Oh, I like the Ollie Out and the Club.
Very good. I can't remember the name of my favorite one. It's like the Turnpike, mm-hmm. Turkey Turnpike, maybe?
Yeah, that's my mom's go-to.
So good. If you haven't been to Yokel, it's on Main Street in Franklin. Awesome little place. It's where Don's Deli was. You can't miss it. It's basically right across from the Mirabado station. Just really good, like, mm-hmm. breakfast and lunch.
Yes.
Like,
very much so.
Like, great sandwiches. Awesome. Is that your, I'm going to skip ahead. Is that, like, your favorite local place to eat? Or do you have another one?
No, it's probably Yokel.
I can't blame you. I go there any chance I get. End up going there with the Campbell's grandpa quite mm-hmm. often when he's like, you driving through today? I'm like, yep, I'll stop. No problem. So speaking of track, so you played, well, you ran track as a 7th grader as well on varsity. Mm-hmm. Was that another thing where you were like, can I do this?
I think yes and no, because like track's one of those things that like it's an individual in a way just because like you're not.
Very true.
And it's like, I knew I was fast, but I was like, I don't know. And then we ended up going to state quals. And
yeah, you break the Franklin 100 record, right, as a 7th grader. Do you have the 200?
No.
You don't?
Not yet.
Is that something that's on the radar?
Yes and no, because of...
You don't love the 200?
I don't love the 200, and the 200 and 400 conflict a lot.
Mm. Do you have the 400 record?
No, I'm close, though. That was my goal this year, and my calf kind of messed that up.
Yeah. How did it go with the calf? Oh, boy. Need my iced tea. How did it go with your calf?
So it started at the Delhi Invitational, and I fell at the end of my 400, and I think...
Yeah, there's that picture Ben had.
That picture that Ben took. So thankfully took.
You're like face down.
And then got another one at state quals. But that was a little more graceful. I think falling did hurt it a little. But then at the end of my 200, I could really, really feel it. And it was just like such a bad pain. And I was supposed to run a 4x4. And I told JJ, I'll run it. And I probably couldn't have run it. But he pulled it anyway. But I think – and then I – rehabbed, Alicia helped me, which I was so grateful for. And then I was planning to run Tri-Valley meet and couldn't.
Right. Which had to kill you.
Which killed me. That it was really hard, but I was so glad Val won the 400 because really helped. I just wanted her to do good in that, and obviously everyone else do good in that. And I mean, it was hard. I did a warm-up lap and I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
And then there was a lot of people I knew there, and Alicia looked at me and she's like, and I just started bawling. I like wanted to run so bad, but like I was in so much pain and I knew I shouldn't.
Yep. So let me play devil's advocate here, because I could hear someone out there listening saying, well, maybe she does too much. She plays soccer. She plays basketball. She runs track. Why doesn't she need a break? What's your philosophy with that? I'm cool with you playing everything, by the way. But I try to ask questions. It's like, all right, what would the viewer be thinking?
I love everything I do. And I think that sometimes it gets to be a lot, but I think it's also helped me with time management, recovery, like really getting the full recovery instead of just half doing it. Instead of like, I don't know. I think it's taught me a lot than just playing one sport would be.
We just talked about this at a Clark Sports Center camp, and everyone's advice that was on the panel that was talking to the younger kids said, play multiple sports. Mm-hmm. And almost everybody I've had on this podcast that was a D1 athlete or any sort of college athlete was a three-sport athlete in high school. So I'm all about it. But I also want to make it clear that like, I invited you to at least one or two AAU tournaments where you were like, I'm going to rest. Mm-hmm. So it's not like you're just going 1,000 miles an hour. Like, I think you've done a good job with it, but at a certain point too, you're an athlete. Like it's going to happen. It's going to happen. So how did you fall?
I went, so our record, I think is 61-1.
Okay.
And I looked at the clock, which the clock wasn't right.
Oh.
Well, the clock was right, but like, the times didn't end up matching or something. Something went on with it.
Right.
And I like leaned forward a little too early.
That'll
and
happen.
I kind of just like went down.
Did you get like the road rash whole nine yards?
I got it a little on my knee, but to be honest, it didn't feel any worse than turf burn.
Okay.
So, and I mean, I have turf burn on both of my sides from the turf. So.
I'm sure. Yeah, because you're on turf all day, every day.
Yeah.
So I guess a couple of wrap-up questions as we hit the home stretch here. Like, if someone out there is looking to get into travel sports, they've never done it, they're listening to you for this advice, like, is it something that's worth the time, the investment in your eyes?
In my eyes, it's totally worth everything I've put into it. I mean, the group of people you're going to meet is amazing. And even though there's going to be some people that you don't necessarily get along with throughout it all, just, like, gut it out because the feeling after you win a state cup or something like that, it's going to feel amazing.
It's great. So I think we'll probably, you know, obviously we'll have this interview saved and we can come back to it in like 4 or 5 years. But like right now, what would your thought be on what you want to do at the next level, like college-wise? Do you have any idea what you want to study, where you'd like to go geographically? Are you already getting college correspondence? I mean, I don't even know.
I mean, like, kind of, but it's like the, we want to reach out to you,
but we can't
really talk to you. Like, do you want to come to our ID clinic? Like a lot of those. I mean, I don't have like a necessary like college picked out. I'd be like grateful for anything really.
Yeah. How many ID camps are you trying to go to? As many as you can?
As many as I can with the schedule. And this summer it really hasn't worked out. Cause I mean, I picked out a few in either I'm not old enough for them. They're out of the picture.
Right.
I've gotten emails of ones that I'm not old enough for.
That's crazy.
It's just like, yeah. So, I mean, it just like this year with nationals coming up and stuff, there really hasn't been any time. And then it's preseason.
Right. At these big, big travel tournaments you go to, I mean, is it just littered with college coaches? Mm-hmm. That's got to be like, what an opportunity.
Yeah. I'm like, I didn't even know about this whole All-Star game, but there were scouts in Florida in March when we went, and I was just like, oh, I'm glad I played good.
Another question I wanted to ask you, and we've touched on it already, but, like, I admire JJ so much for what he's done for the Franklin program and for his longevity. He's just a rock for you guys, and I don't see many coaches that, like, huddle their team up after the game and have a long conversation about anything, good, bad, ugly, you name it. So, like, what has he meant to you to have someone like that, you know, in your position?
His coaching has meant the absolute world to me just because of he's there for literally everything. He's there for track. He's there for soccer. I mean, Alicia does the book at basketball games. They're there. It's just, it's not just about the sports. He's there for everything. I could probably go to him about any problem. Like, it's just, he's there.
Like, they kind of are Franklin athletics.
Yeah.
Like, when I think of Franklin sports, I think of those two, among others. But, you know, it's like, that's what makes small schools so special to me is people who care that much.
And I think, like, with track, Alicia's always there.
Right.
Like, she was at Tri-Valley. It's just such a family atmosphere.
And I don't think people realize how much time they're just giving up for that, you know, just to be like, they would be there whether they were getting paid or not.
Yeah, they really would.
It's remarkable, and they definitely deserve a shout out. I need to get JJ back on here. I had him early.
Yeah.
When we were still like doing it on the phone, and it doesn't sound great, but at the time it was like, this is all we can do. We couldn't meet up face to face. I think I still had him on the phone, and then I had Alicia in here in person. So would love to talk to those two again.
Yeah.
They have so much knowledge.
Yeah. And those two are probably some of my favorite coaches I've worked with among others.
All right. I'm going to apologize to all Franklin fans and JJ and Alicia for my next question, but it's the number one question that I get. And it's the number one question that probably Jordan got and the Campbells got and Mariah Ruff, etc. Why doesn't Shannon go to a bigger school? Why wouldn't she go to Seton? Why wouldn't she go to, maybe Seton's a bad example for soccer, but like, why wouldn't you go? It's so trendy to do these things. Like, what are your thoughts on that? I hate even asking it because I don't love it, but I would love to hear it from you guys.
It's definitely one of the things that's in my mind a lot is that, I mean, the school atmosphere is definitely hard just because of, I'm around them all the time, but I'm going to Sydney for STEM classes this year. So that's a change. But I think, like, that team is such just a family, and I wouldn't want to have any other family.
Right. I think maybe when I get that question, it is from bigger school people, and I don't think they get it, that when you go to a small school, it is family.
Yeah. I mean, like, Katie Lamoureux's dad was like, why don't you come to Enwell? You can stay in Katie's room. Like, that stuff. And I think, like, he obviously understands it, but, like, some people that say that don't.
Yeah, I think it's very easy from the outside to just say, oh, that would be, why wouldn't you just...
that would be a perfect scenario. Go to a bigger school.
Why don't you go to Oneonta? Why don't you do this, that, or the other thing? And I don't know. It's obviously a personal decision for everybody, but I think that small school kids love their small schools, and they want to, if they're going to have success, they want to do it with the people they grew up with.
Yeah. I feel like, obviously, like, once I'm done with high school, it's not going to be, like, as family-minded, but, like...
Yeah, things change.
I think that it's always something that will keep me grounded and, like, I will always appreciate is just, like, the family that Franklin has provided.
I think about Lacey. It's like Hancock's graduating class is similar size to Franklin's, and she never dreamed about leaving. She was like, no, why would I want to do that? And people were just constantly on her. And I didn't realize at the time until I really saw people doing it to her in person. Like, hey, why don't you, like, your family could move. You could go to here. You could go to there. And it's like, she just wanted to play with her friends. Mm-hmm. And it's like, they will find you if you're that good. So,
and I think, like, if I didn't have travel, it might be another story just because of exposure and stuff. But I think, like, it's harder for coaches to see, like, high school soccer. But, like, with the travel and stuff, there's always so many.
Yeah.
So
I think you're in the perfect scenario. Mm-hmm. You have your hometown high school stuff, and you have your travel where, I mean, it doesn't get much bigger than traveling across the country to play in those tournaments. That's so cool. Was there anything we forgot? Anything should bring up? I think we covered a lot of ground.
I think we covered
here.
A lot.
We asked you the favorite restaurant. So, well, one other thing. Throughout all this, your family has done a lot for you.
Yes.
So, like, I mean, your mom's carting you all over. I see her everywhere. And don't get me wrong, she loves doing it. But, like, what does that mean for you and your brothers?
I think my mom and grandma, like, travel a lot with us. Like, my dad stays home, so we don't have to worry about the dogs and stuff. Like,
that's big.
And the animals and stuff. And I think, like, he keeps the home grounded while we're traveling all over. And it's just, like, it's hard sometimes, but, like, I feel like they do everything they can for us.
Yeah. And that's what it takes. Mm-hmm. That's what it takes. All right, wrap-up question. We've started asking this again. What are you watching right now? What's your show?
Oh, God. My mom just made me start watching Outer Banks with her again.
Again?
Again. I've watched it, like, four times.
That's still a very popular answer.
Grey's Anatomy's up there. I watch that a lot. And Yellowstone.
Oh, wow. All good shows. Have you made it all the way through Grey's before?
Yes.
Isn't it like some crazy amount of seasons?
It's 19.
Oh, my.
It's insane. I'll watch it for a little bit. I'll go on like sprees of it. Like I'll watch it and then I won't. I mean, I can watch an episode in the car on the way to Bampton. So that's tends to be what I do.
Yeah. You have a lot of car time.
Yeah. It's either listen to music with my mom or grandma, whoever's driving, or watch a show.
Do you feel like in the future it's going to be more schoolwork in the car?
Yeah.
It's going to have to be?
Yes.
I don't know how people do that. I'm like, I would be sick to my stomach. Ugh.
I mean, thankfully this year I had two study halls, I think, a day. So I was able to like get it done.
Just get it done.
I mean, we don't have to leave until like 5. So it gives me time.
Oh, okay.
But really, with like basketball practice and stuff, obviously we go like 3 to 5. So like then it's like leave.
It's a crazy schedule.
Yeah.
But you're doing a great job with it. Mm-hmm. So, well, we will definitely do this again soon. I'm sure for many more years. So I appreciate you coming on today. I want to get your mom on here at some point and pick her brain about the field hockey world. But I appreciate it. Thanks for coming.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So that'll wrap up episode 223 today, again, with Franklin Shannon Kingsbury going into 9th grade now. And I can't imagine, like, we're going to have a 10th grade one, an 11th grade one. We'll just keep it going. So get out. If you haven't watched her play, make sure you get out and watch her this upcoming fall with the Franklin girls. Worth it. Travel. Do whatever you got to do. Get out there and see her. So, all right, that wraps up 223. We'll see you again soon on the Nate Lowe Podcast.
You've been listening to the Nate Lowe Podcast. Download each new episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.